Now, moving into our message for today, I want to ask this question. If our church ceased to exist, who would notice? If our church ceased to exist, who would notice? I wonder what you think first when you see that question. I wonder what areas or locations or places come to mind. You see, there actually are two views that you can view this through. One of them is the view of the church gathered, which is what we're doing today. The church coming together on a Sunday and doing what we do in this capacity. The other is the church scattered. Right? The church the rest of the week. The church when we're not gathered together in this place. I think the reality is if we stopped doing Sunday services, we're not going to, don't freak out. But let's say we stopped doing Sunday services. Very few people in our community would actually notice. Like that, they wouldn't actually know that we were or weren't meeting on a given Sunday. But of each of us individually, as the church, stopped being the church during the week, stopped being the church where we work, where we rest, and where we play, I'd actually like to think a lot of people would notice. I'd like to think that the people in our sphere of influence, the colleagues that we work with, the people that we live with at home, the people we go and play sport or go and play tiddlywinks or I don't know what you're playing during the week, you know, maybe lawn bowls or cards or whatever it might be. I'd actually like to think that it might be noticed. See, when we're thinking about being the church and what it means to exist and to be in the church, it's really important for us to recognize that we're actually the church wherever we go. So who would notice if we stopped being the church? I'm hopeful quite a few people would. We're in our third part of our series. We're launching a vision. So if you're joining us today for the first time, if you're new, if you're exploring church, if you're exploring faith, we've launched a new vision that I'm going to go through in a moment. This week's called The Big Picture, and we're looking at engaging our local communities. Now, you might be looking, hang on a second, shouldn't that just say engaging our local community? No, one of the things we've recognized as a church is we actually are involved in lots of communities. Not everybody is connected in South Yandurup. There are actually many suburbs and many areas close by that you call home. And so our church is equipped and tasked with making a difference in all of those communities. Now, there's obviously some realities where we're located here. So we're going to have a lot of focus in the area of South Yandurup and the Shire of Murray. But I want us to really look at today, how do we help you make a difference in your local community? How do we help you make a difference wherever you work, wherever you rest, and wherever you play? To remind you, in case you don't remember or maybe you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, this is our vision story. This is what we want to be, the framework that really centers us for about the next 10 years. Between now and 2030 is loosely what we feel God has called for us to focus this on. Between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth. Encouraging them to encounter God in transformative ways and equipping them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus into the world. Last week, we looked at the ends of the earth bit. Last week, we looked at the idea, and it's a little bit provocative, but we looked at the idea that Australia first is not God's view. That God's heart, that God's desire is actually for the whole world. And that for us to follow him truly and faithfully actually requires of us to look at making a difference to the ends of the earth. It's a big part of why we do the Compassion sponsorship. Really looking to do that. But this week, there are some realities. We live here. We live in the Shire of Murray. We live in the Peel region. We live in Western Australia. We live in Australia. I hope I covered everyone there. I think all of us live in one of those places. The realities are we're going to make a bigger difference where we're actually located. And not just that, we are called by God to really look at where we are planted, where God has put us. there's a reason for that. So that's what we're going to dig into today. We're going to look at what does it actually mean to make a difference, to engage our local communities. How do we do it? Where to from here? I'd love for you to jump with me into Matthew chapter 16. I really want to start with this very important framework, because we can get a bit lost, I think, sometimes if we don't keep this in mind. Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18 says this. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? This is Jesus speaking to Peter. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. There's a whole lot we could talk to in that passage and unpack, but I want to focus on the bits that I've highlighted. Who builds the church? Is it the amazing schemes that the church comes up with and the plans and all those sort of things that we do? They're important. They're an aspect of what it means for us to faithfully follow Jesus. But God builds the church. And what's really encouraging about this passage is it says the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, what that is basically saying, gates are made to sort of keep things in or keep things out. So Jesus is saying there are gates around Hades. There are gates that are keeping people stuck in hell. They won't stop Jesus. They won't stop Jesus building his church, penetrating deep into the place where people are lost, people are hurting, people are broken. Jesus will build his church. Our role is to come alongside him, look at what he's doing, and find ways to partner with him. Come alongside him, look for what he's doing, and find ways to partner with him. We're not just, passive spectators sort of sitting back looking at it. Oh, Jesus, go Jesus. Yeah, woo! No, we are active participants. But it's God who will build his church. We don't have to carry that weight on our shoulders. Don't have to worry about if we don't do this, it's not going to happen. No. God will build his church. Rest in that truth and let that be the foundation that we build from. Let that be the truth that we hold to, so that then what we do as a church becomes fruitful work supporting what God is doing, not us trying to take charge and solve the problems that it's actually up to God to solve. So what does it actually look like? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 to 20, we read this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And I've highlighted this next bit because I'm going to dig into that in a moment. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his plea, appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So Paul wrote this letter to the people in Corinth, and he's encouraging them and recognizing for the church and saying, church, you're called to reconcile a lost world. You're called to be out there. You're called to be present. You are Christ's ambassadors. And one of the realities of being an ambassador is sent to a foreign country. Now, they are still ambassadors when they come home on home assignment, but they come home to be sent again. They come home to go out. Their role is to be in uncomfortable territory. Their role is to not be home. Their role is to often find themselves in cultures and places and expectations on them in those places that are different to where their citizenship is. And as followers of Jesus, that's what we're called to. If you're here today and you've decided to follow Jesus, you are an ambassador for Christ. Part of what it means to engage our communities is to recognize that our communities don't look like us and that our communities don't look like church. And that in the perfect world, actually, we would be different. And yet we are still called to be sent. We're called to be in those places that we work as an ambassador for Christ. We're called to be in those places that we rest, in those families that we're a part of, that maybe not everybody in our family is a Christian. Maybe not everybody in our family has decided to follow Jesus. But we're called to be there as an ambassador for Christ. And in all those places that we play, all those sporting clubs or local groups or walking groups or running groups, who's in a running group? All of those places, we're called to be an ambassador. But it's not home. It doesn't look like home. It doesn't feel like home. It doesn't act like home. That's okay. Because we gather together as the church to remind ourselves what is home. And then we're sent again, as ambassadors to a world in need. In Matthew 5, we read this, verse 13 to 16. I love these verses. I preach these verses way too often, but they really are so important to the life of the church. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. A couple of lessons just very quickly from Salt and Light. Salt, the main purpose of salt, without going into too much detail, was to add flavor. That's the main one that we have today. We recognize salt adds flavor. That you put salt into something and it actually enhances the natural flavors. Don't put too much salt in because then it becomes salty and you're like, oh, I don't like that. But if you get just the right amount of salt, it enhances the natural flavors. But the main role actually back in the time that this was written was salt was a preservative. That when salt was added to something, it lasted much longer. They didn't have the refrigeration we have today. They didn't have the capacity to keep things as well as we do today. So salt preserved things like meat. So one of the roles that we have to play is we are to add flavor. We're to add nutrients. We're to add a sense of there's something different about those people who follow Jesus. And we are to preserve the ways of God. We are to champion the ways of God. We are to recognize that we're out there as a beacon saying, there's so much more. So much more. Be a part of that. Light, strangely enough, removes darkness. That when you add light, it shines, and all of a sudden, what was completely dark and you couldn't see it, all of a sudden, there's light. Now, there's different levels of light. Sometimes there's lots of light. Sometimes there's a little bit of light. But light removes darkness. So one of our roles as followers of Jesus is to be light bringers, to let light shine in the darkness, to make sure that people can see and go, there's something about those Christians. And they won't always like it. They won't always say that's a good thing. But we shine. We shine the goodness of God. Another parable. A couple of parables that Jesus shared that speak to what we're talking about today. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can perch in its branches. He told them yet another parable. He likes to tell parables in pairs. Jesus. He likes to share two parables because you can kind of get an idea of what he's actually getting at by comparing what's the case in each of them. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So just a couple of lessons that we can pull out from this. The first one is this. Have you ever taken a mustard seed out of your mustard and held it? Is it a tree? Is it a tree when you're holding onto it and it's not planted? No. It seems ridiculous. No. A mustard seed has to be planted to become a tree. It has to be planted in a place. It has to be planted in one area to grow. It needs to be planted. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Yeast. You can buy sachets of yeast at the supermarkets and they're not doing an awful lot. They're not creating bread. They're not making sure things rise. They're just sitting there sleeping, if you want to. If you want to give them personality, they're sleeping. Yeast comes to life in the dough. If it's not in the dough, it's doing nothing. It has to be in the dough. Another thing that we can take from yeast and an understanding around this is, and this is the hard one, I'd love this not to be true. Yeast needs to be kneaded to activate. When you put yeast in the, into bread as an example, you've got to really, pummel that bread, press it around, and the yeast activates more and more and causes it to rise and grow even more. As followers of Jesus, sometimes when we're in the dough, when we're in those places that we work, rest, and play, things don't always go the way we want them to. Has there ever anything go wrong? Anything that didn't go the way you wanted it to? Yeah, there we go. Got some hands. We got a lot of people here who have everything go well for them. That's great. Can you should be up here. Can you come and tell us what? No. We're all needed at times. And I don't mean in a good way. We all face challenges. And yet so often those challenges are the very thing that unleashes something that causes us to grow. Are you planted? Are there some places in your life that you're planted? It's like, this is where I am. Where you work. Is work something you do to go and get paid and then come home and live the rest of your life? Or is work an intentional place for you? Is work a place that, I'm not saying your work has to be a Christian environment. In fact, most of us won't be working in a Christian environment. But do you view work in such a way that you see yourself intentionally planted in that place to be a representative of Jesus? What about the places you rest? Now, rest might be home. Rest has not been the word that I would use to describe this week, but that's an aside. Just think about the places that you call home, the places you rest. Maybe it's your broader family. It's the people you sort of just kick back with and spend Christmas with or whatever that might be. Many of us here today will have members of our family in that area that are not Christian. That's just the reality. Are you planted in your family? Are you recognizing that you can be an intentional representative, an intentional ambassador for Christ, where you rest, where you call home in your family? What about where you play? Your bridge club. Do we have anyone who plays bridge? I'd love that to be. No. Someone needs to take up bridge. That's your challenge this year. In your sporting club, in your cards club, in that group of friends you catch up with every couple of months. Where you play, where you're energized, where you just look forward to that. The coffee place that you always go to with that group of people. I'm sure there'd be some hands if I asked for that one. Are you intentionally invested as an ambassador of Christ in those places? See, how are we going to make a difference as a church? How are we going to see ourselves really engaging our local communities? The way that's going to happen is when each of us does this. We each invest each day where you work, rest, and play. Invest each day where you work, rest, and play. Invest in your workplace. Invest there and say, I am going to be present in this place. You might hate your work. You can still invest in that place. Invest where you rest. Invest in your family. Invest in your extended family. Invest in those places that you rest in. And invest where you play. Don't just go along. So I've joined a volleyball club recently, and I could just go along and have some fun and play some games and come home again and shower because, you know, volleyball, you get sweaty. And rinse and repeat, go back the next week. But that's not what I'm doing. I am doing that. But each week when I get there, I just pray a little prayer in the car before I head inside. And I just say this, God, if you've got anything for me to do today for you, may I be present in this place tonight. And I just look out for opportunities. Last week I met someone, his name's Sol. Just building a connection there. He's become someone that I'm praying for. Just someone, each week I've been there, I think 3 weeks now, and each week he's kind of ended up coming towards me and we've been chatting and talking. So I'm taking that as just something from God. Invest in him. Recognize that he's there. It may not come to anything. I might be part of his story. It might have nothing to do with it. But I can sense that by being invested and intentional in that place, I can make a difference. So practically, how do we do this? I actually want to give you some resources. The first one is this. Our catchphrase for engage. So our discipleship strategy is engage, encounter, equip. We're just looking at the engage phase. This is the how do we help people who aren't in the faith yet? How do we draw them closer to Christ? Most of them aren't ready to come to church next week. Most of them probably aren't even going to talk about Jesus next week. This is right back at the very beginning. How do we just help them get connected to someone who knows Jesus? So our little catchphrase for that is connect and invite. Intentionally look to connect where you work, rest, and play. And I don't mean with any ulterior motives of saying, do you want to know about Jesus? No, no, just connect with them. Get to know them. Befriend them. It's a good thing to be friends with the people we're connected with. And invite them. Now, sure, that might mean an invitation to church, but that's a small part. Invite them to your home for coffee. And invite them to a cafe. Invite them into your life. Invite them to have conversations with you. Invite them to go beyond the surface level. And hopefully one day, yes, invite them to meet Jesus. Connect and invite. A couple of ways for you to do this. And if you don't know how to do this, actually on our new website, if you go onto the website across the menu bar at the top, there's a screen that says resources. Go onto the resources page. I've actually put a couple of resources up that will help you do these next couple of things. The first one is simply map your street. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know who lives on your street? This little resource, all it has is a whole lot of boxes that represent a house. Choose which house is yours, and over the next year, try and fill out the names of the people who live on the houses around you. In our culture today, it's actually not uncommon for people to have no idea who lives on their street. And yet when you find people who know their neighbours and know who lives on their street, that the relational connections in that area are so much deeper. It's interesting. So we've been at our house now since the end of last year, beginning of this year. And most of that time, I have had no interaction whatsoever with anyone in my street. I come, I open up the garage door, I go inside, I close the garage door, and anything could go on outside and have no idea. A few weeks back, I was installing some retic in the front yard for a few hours and digging some sand and putting some pavers down. In the time that I was out the front, I had 10 people say hello to me. All people that came from my street. I didn't get names yet. I haven't got that far. But I actually had like a minor conversation and a grin and a wave and cars that drive past. And I was like, oh, they're human. Like they're actually people. I can talk with them. It's okay. Map your street. There's a challenge for you this year. Here's another one. Again, there's a resource for this on the website. Draw a prayer map. What a prayer map is that basically you have areas. So there's your name is in the middle. There might be a box to the left that you say work, a box to the top you say rest, a box to the right that says play, a box to the bottom that says other. You might have some people that don't fit in any of those boxes. And then just list the people that you want to be praying for intentionally. It might be because they don't know Jesus. It might be because you know their life situation at the moment and they need some help. It might be, there's a myriad of reasons. So from that box, you just list the names of those people. And when it comes to your prayer time, pull that out. Just work your way through those names. Really easy way to be intentional about praying for your sphere of influence. So it's austincovechurch.com.au. When you get there, go to resources and you'll find a couple of things that will actually help you to do this. In fact, in a moment, I love you. Can you do this? Can you grab out your phone? If you have a smartphone that goes on the internet, if not, I have something for you in a moment. I'll talk to that for those of you who don't have that. We're actually going to use our website today as part of our service. Because one of the things we're realizing as a church is we can't make someone come to know Jesus. But we as a church can be intentional about making sure that we do what we can do and allow God to do what only God can do. So the, one of the things we want to see change, one of the things we want to see grow in the life of our church is we want to empower you to have intentional community connections. The only difference between a community connection and an intentional one is that you go, I'm going to make this intentional. I'm not just going to go to work, clock in, clock out and go home. I'm going to go there with the intention of connecting with my work colleagues. I'm going to go to my sporting club with the intention of connecting with the players. I'm going to go into my homes with the intention of it doesn't have to be an ulterior motive. You're not necessarily going to see them all come to Jesus. Like, this is just the starting point, being intentional. Our goal as a church is that by the end of 2021, we would have 200 intentional weekly community connections. That means each of us probably needs to average, you know, sort of 4 or 5, maybe 6 across everyone who calls this church home. Some of us, that's easier than others, and that's okay. This is not like a, if we fail this, we fail as a church. It's just to set the wheels in motion to get us going. So the way we're going to track this, one is everyone who comes along to youth group, that's considered an intentional community connection because we're engaging people. Many of them don't go to church or aren't sort of in faith, and we're looking to engage in that space. Anyone who comes to our Friday afternoon kids club, that's an intentional connection. So they're really easy things to track. The other thing we're going to do is once a quarter. So a quarter this month, we're going to use February, even though we'll normally do it in March. And we're actually going to ask the church, each of you, to fill out a simple form. If you go to our austincovechurch.com.au, you can either go /ICC and go straight there, or go to the resources page and find there's a blue thing that says, you'll find the link here and then click on the word here. So either go to austincovechurch.com.au/ICC or go to the resources page and follow the link. If you're just visiting with us today, we'd love you to do this if you want to, but you certainly don't have to. This is just a way that we're going to be doing this moving forward once a quarter by actually tracking and having an idea of what this looks like. So if you can do that now, that would be great. If people want to put their hands up, if you don't have a smartphone that can do this, I have a physical form that you can actually use to do it. Is there anyone who needs a physical form? In here, hands up, no? I'll go and run a couple afterwards to those who might be out in the parents' room. So just take a couple of moments, have a look through that. Hopefully it doesn't take too long to do. It should be fairly straightforward. So all that makes a community connection is that you've decided to make it intentional. So I'll give you an example. I actually really struggle with this. Where do I work? I work in a Christian church. No, I don't have an awful lot of community connections specifically in that context. Where do I rest? I rest in my home with just my Christian family. Where do I play? Okay, I've joined the volleyball club. I would say I have 2 community connections. I have Soul, because I feel I've connected there, and that's one that God's laid on my heart. And I have the broader volleyball club. So just being there, I've chosen to make the volleyball space an intentional connection. So I would put 2 in that space. If you work in a non-Christian environment, maybe you work in a place that it's not a Christian workplace, that would be one. That would be one place that you can make an intentional connection. You might also feel there's 1 or 2 work colleagues that God has really specifically laid on your heart. That would be another 1 or 2, depending on who the colleagues are. You might live at home and you might have family members who aren't following Jesus. That's okay. You know, that will actually be a community connection. someone that you are wanting to, longing for, intentionally seeking to come to know Jesus. So have a think. This is not like you're not going to get marked on this. Yes, I will be the one who gets this data. I'll be the only one who sees the full data. I will then break it down into, ways of tracking it that will be dispersed to people at the board. We might use it to advertise various things at some times, but personally identifying material will not be there. So it won't say, James is part of a volleyball club. It might say, we have one person who's involved in a sporting club. Something like that when we're breaking this down. We've probably got more than one who do that. So if you want to take some time, don't want to do it, that's okay. We're not going to make you. It's not a mandatory thing. It's one of the ways that's going to help us to track as a church. Are we helping people intentionally engage with their local communities? I'll also send out a link during the week for those of us who aren't here today. And if in case you weren't able to work it out for today, if you get stuck, send me an email. I can help you with that. I'll just give you a moment. I've got one more thing to talk to before we invite the team to come back up. Bye. Here's the last one. So if you haven't finished it, that's okay. It's not going anywhere. Come back to it later. That's okay. This is part of the heartbeat of our church. It's been something that's just been, it's been like a pebble in the shoe, even before my time. So if you haven't been around for long, I've been here for coming up on 2 years now. So between 18 months and 2 years. But even before this, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago as a church, we felt like God put on this church's heart to build a community center for this region, for South Yundarup. And now obviously it'll impact more than just South Yundarup. So this is our hope. In the next 3 to 5 years, we're looking at, making a case for this. We're probably not going to be in the building in 5 years' time. But we're really using this next 3 to 5 years to build a case. We have, this has to actually work. So that's what we're exploring at the moment as a church. How can we make this work? If you can't quite make it out on the screen, on the bottom of the screen is this school. That's where we're sitting right now. The land the developers have put aside for us, yes, they're looking at gifting it to us for free. 15,000 square meters is right next to the school. All of this land between here and South Yundarup is part of the master plan development for the building that's going on. So we're really looking to be in on the ground floor, aiming to build this community center. We're not building a church. We are the church. We want to build a facility that serves this community 7 days a week. And we'll use it for our purposes. We'll get together. We'll do what we need to do. But it's a community center to engage our local community. We've got lots of ideas. If you've got some ideas of things you'd like to see there, please either talk to myself, you could talk to David Howie, or you could talk to Leah Jones. We make up the team at the moment. We are looking at, there's a couple of people we've got in mind to tap on the shoulder and see if they'd like to be a part of that team. But have a chat with them, have a chat with me. Love to tell you more about what we're hoping for and seeing in that space. This is part of what we want to do as a church moving forward. We want to engage our local community. We want to be intentional in what we do. We want to invest each day where we work, rest, and play. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you call us to be your ambassadors. It's a high calling, but Lord, we are just so grateful that you would entrust us with that. Help us as a church to be intentional in engaging people far from you. Lord, not with ulterior motives. Lord, just to be their friends, just to be present, just to be in that place, because you call us to be your ambassadors. You call us to be your representatives. You call us to reconcile this world to you. Lord, we thank you that you will build your church, that we are your partners. We're not the CEO. We're not the ones driving it. You're driving it. We're along for the journey. Help us to play our role on the team. Help us to do our little bit. And help us to celebrate when we see you do what only you can do. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.